As I begin this morning, I need a high school volunteer, an academy volunteer. I look over here because this is kind of where you guys usually sit. Someone who is willing, not with their friend holding their arm up or anything. Somebody over here?
Yeah,
Bill, come on. Say what?
I'm scared.
No, don't be scared. Don't be scared at all. Okay? So, Bill, in our illustration, in our little story here, let's move this a little further up over here. Okay, so people can see. Let's imagine. Let's think to the future. Tomorrow. Not very far in the future, okay? But tomorrow. Oh, by the way, you're going to need this real quick. Here, hold on to that.
Oh, I'm down.
Okay. Tomorrow, it's a hot day, like it was yesterday, and today it looks like it's going to be a nice warm day. It's hot in here. Phew, I don't know who's hot in here. And you decide that you want some refreshment. And so you go to Dean Hess, and you have a few friends along with you. Who would you bring with you to get some refreshment?
Probably Alex
Oss. Alex Oss. Okay, so you and Alex, you say, hey, Dean, can we check out and can we go and walk up to the best restaurant in the Spangle, the
Harvester,
okay? Yeah, all right. That's a great place to get refreshment, okay? Because when you go to the Harvester, you can go and you can order
a milkshake.
So, okay. So you're coming up. I'm the cash register at the Harvester here. Yes, may I take your order?
Can I get two awesome milkshakes?
I think you only have enough for one.
Well, then one. We'll share.
What flavor would you like?
Oreo.
Oreo milkshake. It's a good milkshake. Yeah. All righty. Okay. That will be $4.48.
Great.
And you are paying with a five. Alrighty. Let me get your extra here. Here we go. Now, if you were a well-mannered, well-behaved high school student, what would you say?
I think you gave me the wrong change.
That works too. This is for illustration purposes, still.
Thank you.
And keep the?
Keep the change.
Oh, thank you. Why?
You did such a great job.
And so you, whenever you buy something at the restaurant and if someone serves you, what do you give them? A?
Tip.
A tip. And the tip is not shower every day. The tip is monetary, usually, you know, like 15% or something. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you know what? I am a very unique cashier at the Harvester, and we're running a special today that if you pay with a $5 bill, you can either keep your change or you can have the $5 bill back and... Let me go get your milkshake, which I just made over here.
Oh.
And your milkshake. I know, it's empty. So would you like your change or the $5 bill back?
The five.
You don't want change?
But see, here's the thing. I can always get more with the $5 bill.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Have a seat.
All right. What's the $5 bill?
What do you think?
Okay.
I believe that in here, most of us would agree with Bill that the $5 note is more desirous than the change. Agreed? It has more monetary value, right? I mean, we look at change that we get back from restaurants and from the store and from the gas station, whatever, and all it is a handful of circular metal, but have enough of it and you can fund your next vacation, right? but just a penny is usually not very desirous. I mean, I have plenty of pennies in my driveway. You might as well. But change is less desirous in the monetary sense. Also, what about in our own lives? Do we go around looking for change in our lives? I'm not talking monetary change. I know that some people look in the couch cushions after some guests come over because they're looking for change. I'm talking about things that happen in our lives that are not desirous, because usually change brings anxiety and stress, and it's not easy. Just ask the last winner on The Biggest Loser. Changing your body, changing the way you eat, losing weight is not easy. Ask any algebra student. Changing math from just numbers, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, to imaginary numbers and throwing 26 letters of the alphabet in there as well. That's a change. And that's difficult. Or ask anybody who has had to bury a family member or has been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease or an illness or a sickness or just getting the common cold. It's a change, and it's not desirous. Ask anybody, and they will tell you that change is not easy. The whole nature of the word, the definition of the word change itself, is something different. And as a culture, we don't do different very well. This year, for the school year, our theme has been be the change. We take that from verses coming from Ezra chapter 4 verse 10, where Ezra 10 verse 4, where Ezra has been challenged and is challenging the people of Israel to change their ways, to do something different, to divorce their pagan wives and follow God, to be the change. With that, along with that, goes the slogan, the harder the struggle, the more glorious the triumph. And there's a lot of truth in that statement as well. Because as we struggle hard to make positive choices and positive change, it's hard. And then when there's a victory, we can rejoice. But sometimes we need to caution ourselves here, because too easy, we can say, look at what I've done. Look at the struggle that I've gone through, and I've persevered hard. And we can get proud of ourselves. When I think of people that are proud of themselves, I think of football teams. The National Football League. They can get pretty proud of themselves. I want to share a quote from Cam Newton. Tyler Dalrymple shared this with me earlier this week. My good friend Tyler. Cam Newton is the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, East Coast. And this guy's a beast. I mean, he's a tank of himself. He's 6'6", 250 pounds. He's got 5% body fat. He's an animal. This is what he says about himself. I'm telling you, this is just oozing with humility. And he even precludes this with beginning of the quote. He says, "And I say this with the most humility, but I don't think nobody has ever been who I'm trying to be. Nobody has the size, nobody has the speed, nobody has the arm strength, nobody has the intangibles that I've had. Nobody. I'm not saying that to say that I'm a one-on-one type of person that this league will never see another. No, I'm not saying that. Hear me out. I'm just saying that so much of my talents have not been seen in one person." Wow. Oozing with humility. Now, he struggled hard. He has. A year or so ago, he had a bad accident. Broke his back. Car accident. Rolled his truck. Back was broken. 2 weeks later, he was back playing football on the football field. He struggles hard. Many times, it can be easy for us to be proud of our own accomplishments. The harder the struggle, the more glorious the triumph. Yes. but that's struggling, and we recognize that it's struggling with the power and the strength of Jesus, that then when we have the victory and the triumph and we get before Jesus, like in Revelation 4, where the elders surround the throne and they cast their throne, their crowns at Jesus' feet, and they say, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power forever and ever." When we recognize that we struggle through the strength of Jesus, it gives us the right mindset. And so I ask you, have you had the opportunity this year to be the change? Have you had that opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life? To make wrongs right? Have you had the opportunity to straighten out a rough family situation or been a help to somebody? Have you had the chance to focus on Jesus and let Him change you? Be the change. One thing that we know about change is that change is constant. Think about that for a second. Change is constant. We call those oxymorons, right, Mr. Lacey? Two things put together that's, they're both like good morning. Change is constant. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Seasons change, thankfully. The earth goes around the sun. The earth spins. The moon goes around the earth. Things happen. They always will be changing. Like it or not, things change. Schools change every year. Staff leave. Staff retire. New staff come and causes a headache for our principal. But it happens. It's inevitable. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. And the thing is, though, when changes happen, it usually brings stress and anxiety. Well, for the past 10 years, Mrs. Lee Watchsetter has lived a stress-free fairy tale life. Some may think that she embodies the tiny house culture because her living quarters are only about 150 square feet. But let me assure you that for this 87-year-old widow, she is a far cry from minimalist living. She doesn't have to do any cooking of herself. She doesn't have to do the laundry. She doesn't have to clean her living quarters. Her cost of living per year is $164,000. She's visited over 100 countries, and she spends most of her day doing needlepoint. Now, where does she live, you may ask? Well, she lives on the Crystal Serenity, which is a luxury cruise liner, home to over 1,700 crew and guests each week. And at the end of the week, the crew cleans the ship. The guests who've gone on their excursions and their wonderful week, 10-day cruise, whatever it might have been, they pack their bags and they go. But not for Mama Lee, whom she is lovingly called by the crew members. She just keeps on cruising. And she lives on a cruise ship. And she lives this life, which in her own words, she calls a stress-free fairy tale life. Well, how about it? Do you want to live a stress-free, worry-free, anxiety-free life? We desire that, don't we? It'd be nice if we went through life without changes, without stress, without worry. But it's not meant to be. Yet the Bible describes a place and a change that must happen before we get to that place which is stress-free, worry-free, the kingdom of God. take your Bibles this morning and let us open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, Harold, I will not be singing the glory of the trumpet or whatever that was this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes, and he's writing about the resurrection, of Jesus. If Jesus had not been resurrected, there would be no hope for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now Paul says, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And he goes on, verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. He's talking about the second coming. At that time, at the second coming, this mortal person, the one who is going to die, will put on immortality. We will be changed. The dead will be raised. They will also be turned immortal. Just as Jesus Christ is, we will not be able to die again because we have put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ. He's talking about that resurrection, that glorious day when we will see our past loved ones again, those who have committed themselves to Jesus. That is the time when Revelation 21:4 says there will be no more death, no more crying, no more mourning or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But notice in there that there is a change that is necessary. A change that needs to take place. This mortal must put on immortality. For every object that is changed, it does not act independently. For every change that takes place, it does not act independently. There is another substance or another outside force or object acting upon that object to create change. Follow me here for a moment. When you, for you gardeners, you have your packets of seed, say for a corn kernel, you're going to plant some corn. In that packet of seeds, are the seeds changing? Some could say, yes, they're deteriorating. Okay, are they having the change that you want them to have? You want them to grow, right? So for them to grow, you must put them in the ground, absorb the warmth of the sun, and get the water to make the change. A piano by itself. I want you to make music. Shh, listen closely. You have to do something to cause the hammer to strike the string to make the change. Oops. Right? There is an outside force causing that to happen in our life experiences. Things happen. Jobs get new jobs. Jobs get lost. A change has to take place. A move, new friends, new school. It takes an outside force. In the realm of chemistry, now I'm going to move my cash register because I brought a chemistry experiment. Make it up so you all can see it. In the realm of chemistry, you need to have something acting upon it to cause change. Let's hope this works. If it doesn't. Nope. Can you go right in the bathroom? Give me hot water or warm water so it can activate yeast. My preparations failed. But in here, I have a very simple solution. of 3% hydrogen peroxide and dish soap. Mr. Hartman should be the one doing this, I know. I should probably put on safety goggles and gloves and everything. But this is the kid version, so it's not really going to be very difficult. Yeah. That's good. For our chemical reaction to happen, is it going to happen by itself right here? Now you can see I can shake it up a little bit, and there's a few bubbles there because of the dish soap. There has to be something to act upon it, correct? Here I have just regular old baking yeast. It's actually instant yeast, so hopefully this one will work a little bit quicker. And you activate the yeast a little bit there. Now, this only happens with the correct combination of ingredients, right? Who's ever done like the vinegar and baking soda? Yeah, that one's easy, right? That one's fun. It's fun to stick that like in a bottle and put a hole in the top of the bottle and you can shoot people with it. Nicely. But for, you can't do that with just like water and flour, can you? Does that create a reaction that you want? No, that turns to glue, right? So here we've got, again, you have to have the correct ingredients. Let's see if this will work. Usually I let the yeast proof a little longer. But there we go. Yeah. You have to have the right ingredients to form that chemical reaction. Now, Mr. Hartman, quiz time for you. What did I add? What is it called to cause that increase of reaction? Thank you. A catalyst, right? In the chemical world, a catalyst is a substance that increases the rate of reaction on another substance, correct? Another definition for a catalyst is a person or an action that causes a change or it stimulates an event. For example, the governor's speech was the catalyst for debate. Understand? So it has to have something acting upon it to cause that change. And this morning, I would like to share with you the catalyst that changes our lives. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal must put on immortality. We will be changed. And this catalyst is the one thing that alters the way that we think, changes the way that we act, gives us a purpose in our lives, gives us direction. It's the one thing that changes our heart and brings transformation, as Romans 12 says, when we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's the one thing that has changed the biblical Saul into Paul. It changed Jacob into Israel. It changed Abram into Abraham. It changed Moses from the hot-tempered Egyptian to the leader of God's people. I'd like to read some scriptures to you on your scripture sheet this morning, if you were able to pick one up in the bulletin. I don't know if I printed enough. I forgot how full we were going to be today. First, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 10, 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 16, 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And John 17, 3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. the catalyst that brings change in our spiritual lives is that connection with Jesus. He is the one that brings the necessary change. Too often, though, we try to use the wrong catalyst. Now, if I dumped in our little science experiment here, if I dumped in some sugar, would that cause the same change that I wanted it to do? It wouldn't. It wouldn't. Too often in our lives, we try to bring about change by ourselves. And so we create rules and boundaries and lists and doing the right thing, which, don't get me confused here. Don't confuse me. Don't be confused. Doing good is good to do, but it will not bring about lasting change. Maybe you've heard that song, you remember that song. We sing it a lot at the elementary school. It's an echo song. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Right? You know that song? You understand that song? Yeah? Okay. There's another verse, and the kids love to sing this verse. Oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. Oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. Oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates because you'll roll right past those pearly gates. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed, right? And there's other verses that go along like that. You can't get to heaven in a washing machine or a limousine or a rocking chair. Anything else that I miss? Can't get to heaven by your own works. Only through the blood of Jesus. We can't change ourselves. We know that, right? We understand that. Do we put it into practice? Do we try? And we say, oh, today was a good day because I didn't sin. Today was a good day because I didn't fight with my siblings. Today was a good day because I did this, I did that. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot surrender to God by ourselves. We cannot surrender by making our own promises or resolutions. Seniors, take out your steps to Christ. And those who have a scripture sheet, it's on the backside. It's a bit of a long quote, but I want to share it with you because it is very, very important talking about this subject. Page 47, seniors, page 47. It should be kind of on the right side, about third of the way down, quarter of the way down. Starts with, many are inquiring. Many are inquiring. How am I to make the surrender of myself to God? It's a good question to ask. You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. It's an incredible word picture that disintegrate. You're trying to pull something, disintegrates. You're trying to climb the ladder, disintegrates. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. My friends, that is a lie of Satan. Don't believe it. You feel that God cannot accept you, but you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God His affections, but you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot change myself. You cannot change yourself. Real change of character happens when Christ is living in our hearts, and then the good actions and the good deeds flow out of that. And it's not a formula. We can't activate Jesus. Sometimes we think that's a formula. Put Jesus in the heart, activation, this and that. No, it's the connection with Jesus that we're trying to get. We can't change ourselves, but we can choose to follow him. And let me tell you, it's no joke. This is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. That's why they call it the struggle of the Christian life. It's a daily thing. Why do you think Jesus has told us to take up our cross and daily follow him? This is why Paul says, I surrender daily, I die daily. This is why we brush our teeth daily and go to school daily. It forms a habit. It becomes a part of our life, and we hardly even think about it. For one young man named Josh Yant, one particular daily habit changed his life. And it literally opened the door for him. A few years ago in 2011, Josh's father died. Unfortunate thing happened. He loved his dad, and at his high school, he put up pictures of his dad in his locker. He went into some darkness and depression because he had lost his dad. He would sit in the cafeteria by himself, all alone. People would invite him to come join them for the meal. He said, no. He'd sit by himself. He was bullied because he had pictures of his dad in his locker. So things weren't very good for him. His mother decides that they need to make a change. And they move to a new town, a bigger school, more opportunities. And the first day of school, Josh decided, and he determined in his heart, he said, no more bullying. I'm going to make a difference. And what he did was he opened the door for his peers. Stood there, top of the stairway, opening entrance to the school, entrance to the classroom, opened the door. And he became known as the doorman. At first, it wasn't very easy. People thought he was kind of weird. You open the door for me, huh? Nobody opens doors. Opened the door, held the door for a few weeks. Nobody did anything. Nobody mentioned anything to him. They just walked on past him like he wasn't there. And then a few weeks later, people started to recognize it. They started to say, thank you. Give him a hug. So glad you're here. And Josh says for the first time in his life, he had not been bullied. He was not being bullied. He made a change. The administration of that school said that he made a change in that school. Other students started being nice to one another, and they started to encourage one another and do kind acts to one another. Just by that simple action of opening the door. At the end of that year, Josh was honored by his peers. He was voted to be the prom king. They honored him. And it was amazing, amazing story. Changed his life, changed the school. And now Josh wants to be a public speaker so that he can help bring positive change to other people's lives. So that one simple act of daily kindness brought change for Josh Yant. And it brought change in the attitude of that school. My friends, the one simple act of daily committing yourself to Jesus, whether it be a prayer, start with prayer, say, God, I give myself to you today, guide me today. Read some scriptures. Proverbs is fun to read because you have 31 Proverbs, 31 days in the month. You match up the proverb with the day of the month. Like today would be Proverbs 30. You read Proverbs 30, gives wisdom. Be committed to Jesus. One simple act can bring the change necessary for our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we have looked at your promises today and the promise of the hope of change in the future, when this mortal will put on immortality, may we get a glimpse of that here on earth. May we submit ourselves to you. May we commit our ways to you, as we've had the example in Winchin as well this morning. May we daily surrender and let you be the one to change us. In your name we pray. Amen.